Radio Krishna presents Stories from the Mahabharata, or the History of Greater India.
Today's story of the Mahabharata is the gambling match. At the close of the Rajasuya ceremony, when Yudhishthira was proclaimed emperor, the priests, princes, and elders who had gathered for the purpose took leave and returned to their kingdoms. Vyasa, the great sage, also came to say farewell. Yudhishthira rose and received him with due respect and sat by his side. The sage told him,
O son of Kunti, you have got the title of emperor, which you eminently deserve. May the illustrious Kuru race gain even greater glory through you. Give me permission to return to my hermitage.
Yudhishthira touched the feet of his guru and said,
O Master, you alone can remove my apprehensions. Wise men have predicted from portents the happenings of catastrophic events. Has this prediction been fulfilled by the death of Sisupal? Or is there more to come?
The sage Vyasa replied,
Dear child, much of sorrow and suffering is in store for 13 years in the future. The portents indicate the destruction of the whole Kshatriya warrior race and are not exhausted with the death of Sisupal. Far from it. Hundreds of thousands of kings will die and the old order of things will pass away. This catastrophe will spring out of the enmity between you and your brothers on the one side and your cousins, the Kauravas, on the other. It will culminate in a war resulting in practical annihilation of the Kshatriya race. No one can go against destiny, but in the midst of all this, be firm and steadfast in righteousness. Be vigilant and rule the kingdom fairly. Farewell.
And the sage Vyasa blessed Yudhishthira. Vyasadeva's words filled Yudhishthira with grief and with a great repugnance for worldly ambition and life itself. He informed his brothers of the prediction of unavoidable racial disaster. Life seemed to him a bitter and weary business, and his destiny particularly cruel and unbearable. His brother Arjun said,
But you are a king, and it's not right for you to be agitated. Let's meet destiny with undaunted front. Do our duty.
Yudhishthira replied,
Brothers, may God protect us and give us wisdom. For my part, I take this vow, never to speak harshly to my brothers or to my kinsmen for the next 13 years. I shall avoid all pretext for conflict. I shall never give way to anger, which is the root cause of enmity. It shall be my study to give no occasion for anger or pretext for hostility. Thus shall we profit by Bhagavan Vyasa's warning.
His brothers expressed cordial agreement. The first event of the series, which culminated in the devastating slaughter on the blood-sodden field of Kurukshetra, and the event which was the evil root of all, was the gambling match into which Yudhishthira was inveigled by Sakuni, who was Duryodhana's evil genius. Why did the wise and good Yudhishthira suffer himself to be persuaded to this step, which he must have known to hold evil possibilities? The main cause was his fixed resolve to be on amicable terms with his cousins by not opposing their wishes, and a friendly invitation to dice could not be summarily turned down, since the etiquette of those days made it a point of honor to accept a game of equal hazard.
Out of his very anxiety to foster goodwill He laid open the field for the poisonous seed of hatred and death. Here is an illustration of the futility of human plans, however well-meant or wise, without divine aid. Our best wisdom is useless against fate, and if destiny is kind, our very follies turn to our advantage.
While Yudhisthir was careworn with solicitude to avoid a quarrel at all costs, Duryodhan was burning with jealousy at the thought of the prosperity of the Pandavas, which he had witnessed in their capital city during the Rajasuya sacrifice. Duryodhana saw unprecedented wealth, attractive and sight-eluding crystal doors, and many pieces of exquisite artistry in the court hall of Yudhisthir, all suggestive of great prosperity. He also saw how glad the kings of many countries were who had become the allies of the Pandavas. This gave him unbearable grief. He was so absorbed in sorrow at the prosperity of the Pandavas that he did not at first hear Sakuni, who was by his side, speaking to him. Sakuni asked,
"Duryodhan, why are you sighing? Why are you tormented with sorrow?"
And Duryodhan replied,
"Yudhisthir, surrounded by his brothers, is like Indra, the king of gods. Before the very eyes of the assembled kings, Sisupal was killed, and not one of them had the courage to come forward to avenge him. Like the merchants who live by trade, they bartered their honor and jewels and riches in order to get Yudhisthir's goodwill. How can I avoid giving way to grief after seeing all this? What's the use of living?"
And Sakuni told him,
"Oh, Duryodhan, the Pandavas are your brothers. It's not right on your part to be jealous of their prosperity. They're just enjoying their legitimate inheritance. By their good fortune, they have prospered and flourished without doing any injury to others. Why should you be jealous? How can their strength and happiness diminish your greatness? Your brothers and relations stand by you and obey you. Drona, Ashwatthama, and Karna are on your side. Why do you grieve when Bhishma, Kripa, Jayadratha, Somadratta, and myself are your supporters? You can conquer even the whole world. Don't give way to grief."
At these words, Duryodhan said that since it was true that he had so many to support him, why should he not wage war and drive the Pandavas out of their capital, Indraprast? But Sakuni said,
"No, that will not be easy. But I know a way to drive Yudhisthir out of Indraprastha without a fight or the shedding of blood."
Eyes of Duryodhan lighted up, but it seemed too good to be true. He asked incredulously of his uncle how it was possible to overcome the Pandavas without sacrificing any life. What was his plan? Sakuni replied,
"Yudhisthir is fond of the game of dice, and being unskillful, is altogether ignorant of its tricks and the opportunity it offers to, shall we say, clever people. If we invite him to a game, he would accept, following the tradition of the Kshatriyas. I happen to know the tricks of the game, and I'll play on your behalf. Yudhisthir will be as helpless as a child against me. I'll win his kingdom and wealth for you without shedding a single drop of blood."
Duryodhan and Sakuni went to Dhritarashtra. Sakuni opened the conversation, saying that whilst Duryodhan was with grief and anxiety, the king was paying no attention to his unbearable sorrow. Why this unconcern? Dhritarashtra, who doted on his son, embraced Duryodhan and said,
I don't see why you should be so disconsolate. What is here that you already do not enjoy? The whole world is at your feet. When you are surrounded by all kinds of pleasures like the very gods, why should you pine in sorrow? You have learnt the Vedas, you know archery and all the other sciences, and you've had the best of tutors. You're my firstborn, and as such you have inherited the throne. What is left that you wish for? Tell me.
Duryodhan replied that, like anybody else, rich or poor, he ate and covered his nakedness, but he found life unbearable. What was the use of leading such a life? Then he revealed in detail the envy and hatred that were eating into his vitals and depriving life of its savor. He referred to the prosperity that he had seen in the capital of the Pandavas, which to him was bitterer than loss of all that would have been. He considered that contentment with one's lot is not characteristic of a warrior. Fear and pity lowered the dignity of kings. His wealth and pleasures did not give him any satisfaction, since he had witnessed the greater prosperity of Yudhisthira. The Pandavas had grown, while they had shrunk. His father told him,
Beloved child, you are the eldest son of my royal wife and me, and heir to the glory and greatness of our renowned race. Don't cherish any hatred towards the Pandavas. Sorrow and death will be the sole result of hatred of kith and kin, especially when they are blameless. Tell me, why do you hate the guileless Yudhisthira? Is not his prosperity ours too? Our friends are his friends. He has not the least jealousy or hatred towards us. You are equal to him in heroism and ancestry. Why should you be jealous of your brother? No, 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 you should not be jealous.
The old king did not occasionally hesitate to say what he felt to be just, even though he was overfond of his son. Duryodhan did not at all like the advice of his father, and his reply was not very respectful.
The man without common sense but immersed in learning is like a wooden ladle immersed in savory food which it neither tastes nor benefits from. You have much learning of statecraft, but have no state wisdom at all, as your advice to me clearly shows. The way of the world is one thing, and the administration of a state is quite another. Vrihaspati has said, forbearance and contentment, though the duties of ordinary men, are not virtues in kings. The Kshatriya's duty is a constant seeking of victory.
Duryodhan spoke thus, quoting maxim of politics and citing examples and making the worse appear the better reason. Then Sakuni intervened and set forth in detail his infallible plan of inviting Yudhisthira to play the game of dice, defeating him utterly and divesting him of all without recourse to arms. The wicked Sakuni wound up with saying that it was enough if they merely sent for the son of Kunti to play the game of dice. They could leave the rest to him. Duryodhan added,
Sakuni will win for me the riches of the Pandavas without a fight, if you would only agree to invite Yudhisthira.
Dhritarashtra felt the suggestion did not seem proper. They should ask Vidura about it. he would advise them rightly. But Duryodhan would not hear of consulting Vidura. He said to his father,
Vidura will only give us the platitudes of ordinary morality, which will not help us to our object. The policy of kings must be very different from the goodly maxims of textbooks, and is sterner stuff of which the test is success. Moreover, Vidura does not like me, and he's partial to the Pandavas. You know this as well as I do.
In Dhritarashtra's opinion, the Pandavas were strong. He did not think it wise to antagonize them. The game of dice would only lead to enmity. The passions resulting from the game would know no bounds. They should not do it. But Duryodhan insisted.
Wise statesmanship lies in casting off all fear and protecting oneself by one's own efforts. Should we not force the issue while yet we are more powerful than they? That would be an example of real foresight. A lost opportunity may never come again. And it's not as though we invented the game of dice to injure the Pandavas. It's an ancient pastime which Kshatriyas have always indulged in. And if it will now serve us to win our cause without bloodshed, where is the harm?
His father then replied,
Oh, dear son, I have grown old. Go ahead and do as you like. But the line that you are taking does not appeal to me. I'm sure that you'll be sorry later. This is the work of destiny. In the end, out-argued and through sheer fatigue and hopelessness of dissuading his son, Dhritarashtra agreed and ordered the servants to prepare a hall of games. Yet he could not forbear consulting Vidura in secret about the matter.
Vidura said that this would undoubtedly bring about the ruin of the race by raising up unquenchable hate. But Dhritarashtra would not oppose the demand of his son and said,
If fortune favors us, I have no fear regarding this game. If, on the contrary, fortune goes against us, how could we help it? For destiny is all-powerful. Go and invite Yudhisthira on my behalf to come and play dice.
Thus commanded, Vidura went to Yudhisthira with the invitation. The weak-witted Dhritarashtra, over-persuaded, finally yielded to the desire of his son through his attachment to him, in spite of the fact that he knew this was the way that destiny was working itself out. At the sight of Vidura, Yudhisthira anxiously inquired why he was so cheerless. Was everything well with their relations in Hastinapur? Were the kings and princes well? At this, Vidura acquainted him with his mission.
Everyone in Hastinapur is well, Yudhisthira. How goes it with you all? I've come to invite you on behalf of King Dhritarashtra to come and see the newly erected Hall of Games. A beautiful hall has been erected there, just like yours. The king would like you to come with your brothers, see everything, and have a game of dice, and then come back to your capital.
Yudhisthira seemed to ask counsel of Vidura.
Wagering games create quarrels among warriors. A wise man will avoid them if he can. We are ever abiding by your advice. What would you have us do?
Then Vidura replied,
Everyone is aware that the playing of dice is the root of many evils. I did my best to oppose this idea, Still, the king has commanded me to invite you, and I have come. You have to make your own decision.
Despite this warning, Yudhisthira went to Hastinapur with his brothers and retinue. They stayed in the magnificent palace reserved for them. Yudhisthira rested on the day of arrival, and after the daily routine of duties, they went to the Hall of Games next morning. After the exchange of customary greetings, Sakuni announced to Yudhisthira that the cloth for playing the game had been spread and invited him to it. Yudhisthira at first said,
"O king, gambling is bad. It's not through heroism or merit that one succeeds in a game of chance. Asita, Devala, and other wise rishis who were well versed in worldly affairs have declared that gambling should be avoided since it offers scope for deceit. They have also said that conquest in battle is the proper path for Kshatriyas. You are not unaware of these quotes?"
But the keen-witted Sakuni replied,
"What is wrong with the game? What, in fact, is a battle? What is even a discussion between Vedic scholars? The learned man wins victory over the ignorant. The better man wins in every case. It is just a test of strength or skill, that's all. And there's nothing wrong in it. As for the result, in every field of activity, the expert defeats the beginner. And that is what happens in a game of dice also. But if you are afraid, you don't have to play. But don't come out with this worn excuse of right and wrong."
Yudhisthira then replied who was to play with him. And Duryodhan said,
"Mine is the responsibility for finding the stakes in the form of wealth and gems to play the game. My uncle Sukuni will actually cast the dice in my stead."
Yudhisthira had thought himself secure of defeating Duryodhan in play, but Sakuni was a different matter, for he was a recognized expert. So he hesitated, saying that it was not customary for one man to play on behalf of another. But Sakuni retorted tauntingly,
"Ha! I see that you are forging another excuse."
Yudhisthira flushed, and casting caution to the winds, replied,
"Well, all right then, I'll play."
The hall was fully crowded. Drona, Kripa, Bhishma, Vidura, and Dhritarashtra were all seated there. They knew that the game would end viciously and sat unhappily witnessing what they could not prevent. The assembled princes watched the game with great interest and enthusiasm. At first, they wagered jewels, and later gold, silver, then chariots and horses. Yudhisthira lost continually. When he lost all these, Yudhisthira staked his servants and lost them also. He pledged his elephants and armies and lost them too. The dice thrown by Sakuni seemed at every time to obey his will. Cows, sheep, cities, villages and citizens, and all other possessions were lost by Yudhisthira. Still, drugged with misfortune, he would not stop. He lost the ornaments of his brothers, and himself as well as the very clothes they wore. Still, ill luck dogged him, or rather, the trickery of Sakuni was too much for him. Sakuni asked,
"Well, is there anything else that you can offer as a wager?"
And Yudhisthira said,
"Here is the beautiful sky complexion Nakula. He is one of my riches. I place him as a wager."
Sakuni replied,
"Is it so? We shall be glad to win your beloved prince."
With these words, Sakuni cast the dice, and the result was what he had foretold. The assembly trembled, as Yudhisthira said.
Here is my brother Sahadev. He's famous for his infinite knowledge in all the arts. It's wrong to bet him, and yet I'm going to do so. Let's play.
Sakuni cast the dice with the words,
Ha! I've played and won again!
Yudhisthira lost Sahadev also. The wicked Sakuni was afraid that Yudhisthira might stop there, so he lashed Yudhisthira with these words.
To you, Bhima and Arjun, being your full brothers, are no doubt dearer than the sons of Madri. Will you not offer them as well?
Yudhisthira, now thoroughly reckless and stung to the quick by the sneering imputation that he held his stepbrothers cheaply, replied,
Fool, do you seek to divide us? How can you, living an evil life, understand the righteous life we live? I offer as wager the ever-victorious Arjun, who successfully voyages across oceans of battle. Let us play.
Sakuni answered,
I cast the dice. Ha! Yudhisthira has now lost Arjuna also.
The stubborn madness of unbroken misfortune carried Yudhisthira further and deeper. With tears in his eyes, he said,
O King, Bhima, my brother, is our leader in battle. He strikes terror into the heart of demons and is equal to Indra. He can never suffer the least dishonor, and he is peerless throughout the world in physical strength. I offer him as a bet.
And he played again and lost Bhima too. The wicked Sakuni asked,
Is there anything else you can offer?
And Yudhisthira replied,
Yes, myself. If you win, on this throw, I shall be your slave.
Sakuni then cast the dice and won. After that, he stood up in the assembly and shouted the names of each of the five Pandavas and loudly proclaimed that they had all become his lawful slaves. The assembly looked on in stunned silence. Sakuni alone turned to Yudhisthira and said,
There is one jewel still in your possession, by staking which you might yet free yourself. Can you not continue the game, offering your wife Draupadi as wager?
Yudhisthira despairingly said,
I pledge her.
And he trembled unwittingly. There was audible distress and agitation in that part of the assembly where the elders sat. Soon great shouts of
Fire! Fire!
Arose from all sides. The more emotional among them wept. Others perspired and felt the end of the world was come. Duryodhan, his brothers, and Karna shouted with exultation. In that group, Yuyutsu alone bent his head in shame and sorrow and heaved a deep sigh. Sakuni then cast the dice and shouted again,
I have won!
At once, Duryodhan turned to Vidura and said,
Go and fetch Draupadi, the wife of the Pandavas. She must henceforward sweep and clean our house. Let her come right away.
Vidura exclaimed,
Are you mad that you rushed to certain destruction? You're hanging by a slender thread over a bottomless pit. Drunk with success, you do not see it, but it will engulf you.
Having thus reprimanded Duryodhan, Vidura turned to the assembly and said,
Yudhisthira had no right to stake his wife, as by then he had himself already lost his freedom and lost all rights. I see that the ruin of the Kauravas is imminent, and that regardless of the advice of their friends and well-wishers, the sons of Dhritarashtra on the path to hell.
Duryodhan was angry at these words of Vidura and told his charioteer,
Vidura is jealous of us and he is afraid of the Pandavas, but you are different. Go and bring Draupadi to us immediately.
You've been listening to Stories from the Mahabharata, the celebrated history of Greater India. Compiled by the great sage Vyas many thousands of years ago, Mahabharata is written in the Sanskrit language in verse form and is here adapted for radio and brought to you by Radio Krishna. Tune in again for our next presentation of Stories from the Mahabharata.